So I believe that text 2 is on the board. Jnana Nishtaya Dehani. Text 2 is on the board. So I'm going to just read the summary and text number 1, and then we'll go on to text number 2. Instructions for civilized human beings. Very nice title here, because it implies that these are instructions for advancing in social organization, something that we're lacking in the world nowadays, social organization or organization in the arts and sciences. Although people, modern society likes to consider itself very cultured and courteous and refined, it's the exact opposite. But these are some very nice instructions being given by Narada Muni, which give us information how to be cultured and refined. The summary of the 15th chapter is as follows. In the previous chapter, Sri Narada Muni proved the importance of the brahmanas in society. Now, in this chapter, he will show the differences between different grades of brahmanas. Among the brahmanas, some are householders and are mostly attached to fruitive activities or the betterment of social conditions. Right? Isn't that what civilization means? It means to be advanced in social organizations. Above them, however, are brahmanas who are very much attracted to austerities and penances and who retire from family life. They're known as vanaprasthas. Other brahmanas are very much interested in studying the Vedas and explaining the purport of the Vedas to others. Such brahmanas are called brahmacharis. And still, other brahmanas are interested in different types of yoga, especially bhakti yoga and jnana yoga. Such brahmanas are mostly sannyasis, members of the renounced order of life. As far as householders are concerned, they engage in different types of scriptural activities, especially in offering oblations to their forefathers and giving as charity to other brahmanas the paraphernalia engaged in such sacrifices. Generally, the charity is given to sannyasis, brahmanas in the renounced order of life. If such a sannyasi is not available, the charity is given to brahmana householders engaged in fruitive activities. One should not make very elaborate arrangements to perform the shraddha ceremony of offering oblations to one's forefathers. The best process for the shraddha ceremony is to distribute bhagavat prasad, remnants of food that has first been offered to Krishna, to all of one's forefathers and relatives. This makes a first-class shraddha ceremony. In the shraddha ceremony, there is no need to offer meat or eat meat. Is there such a thing? I'm surprised. Offering and eating of meat during a shraddha ceremony. Unnecessary killing of animals must be avoided. Those who are in the lower grades of society prefer to perform sacrifices by killing animals, but one who is advanced in knowledge must avoid such unnecessary violence. Brahmanas should execute their regulative duties in worshiping Lord Vishnu. Those who are advanced in knowledge of religious principles must avoid 5 kinds of irreligion known as Vidharma, Paradharma, Dharmabhas, Upadharma, and Chaladharma. And Prabhupada later on in this chapter just defines them a little bit more as or Vidharma, or that religion which one is unfit for or which obstructs one from performing one's own duties. And paradharma describes as introduced by others. And abhas, or pretentious religions. And upadharma, or that which opposes Vedic principles. And then finally, chaladharma, which is the cheating religion. Prabhupada later on in this chapter describes in more greater detail these five irreligious kinds. One must act according to the religious principles that suit his constitutional position. It is not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. A general principle is that a poor man should not unnecessarily endeavor for economic development. One who refrains from such endeavors, but who engages in devotional service, is most auspicious. An interesting point here Prabhupada makes is that one must act according religious principles according to his, which best suits his constitutional position. It is not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. Very interesting. One who is not satisfied with the mind must fall to degradation. One must conquer lusty desires, anger, greed, fear, lamentation, illusion, fright, unnecessary talks on material subjects, violence, the four miseries of material existence, right? Jamna, Mitu, Drabyadi, and the three material qualities. That is the objective of human life. One who has no faith in the spiritual master, who is identical with Sri Krishna, cannot get any benefit from reading Shastra. One should never consider the spiritual master an ordinary human being, even though the members of the spiritual master's family may think of him as such. Meditation and other processes of austerity are useful only if they help in advancement toward Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, they are simply a waste of time and labor. For those who are not devotees, such meditation and austerity cause fall down. Every householder should be very careful, because even though a householder may try to conquer the senses, he becomes a victim to the association of relatives and falls down. Thus, a grihastha must become a vanaprastha or sannyasi, live in a secluded place, and be satisfied with food gotten by begging from door to door. He must chant the Omkar mantra or Hare Krishna mantra, and in this way he will perceive transcendental bliss within himself. After taking sannyas, however, if one returns to grihastha life, he is called a vantasi, which means one who eats his own vomit. Such a person is shameless. The householder should not give up the ritualistic ceremonies, and a sannyasi should not live in society. If a sannyasi is agitated by the senses, he is a cheater, influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. When one assumes a role in goodness by starting philanthropic and altruistic activities, such activities become impediments on the path of devotional service. The best process for advancing in devotional service is to abide by the orders of the spiritual master, for only by his directions can one conquer the senses. Unless one is completely Krishna conscious, there is no chance of falling down. I'm sorry. That was weird. Unless one is completely Krishna conscious, there is a chance of falling down. Of course, in performing ritualistic ceremonies and other fruitive activities, there are also many dangers at every moment. Fruitive activities have been divided into 12 portions. Because of performing fruitive activities, which are called the path of Dharma, one has to accept the cycle of birth and death. But when one takes the path of moksha, or liberation, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as archana marg, one can get relief from the cycle of birth and death. The Vedas describe these two paths as Pitriyana and Devayana. Those who follow the paths of Pitriyana and Devayana are never bewildered, even while in the material body. A monistic philosopher who gradually develops control of the senses understands that the objective of all the different ashramas, the statuses of life, is salvation. One must live and act according to shastras. If one who is performing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies becomes a devotee, even if he is a grihastha, he can receive the causeless mercy of Krishna. The objective of a devotee is to return home back to Godhead. Such a devotee, even though not performing ritualistic ceremonies, advances in spiritual consciousness by the supreme will of the personality of Godhead. One may actually become successful in spiritual consciousness by the mercy of devotees, or one may fall down from spiritual consciousness by being disrespectful to devotees. In this regard, Narada Muni narrated the history of how he had fallen from the Gandharva kingdom, how he was born in a Shudra family, and how by serving exalted Brahmanas he became the son of Lord Brahma and was reinstated in his transcendental position. After narrating all these stories, Narada Muni praised the mercy received from the Lord by the Pandavas. Maharaj Yudhisthira, after hearing from Narada Muni, became ecstatic in love of Krishna, and then Narada Muni left that place and returned to his own place. Thus, Shukadeva Goswami, having described various descendants of the daughters of Daksha, ends the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Wow, this is what a power-packed chapter, this summary study of given here by Shukadeva. I mean, there's no way to comment on this. It's all you can say is that it's a perfect and complete. Text number one. I'll just read the verse and then we'll move on to two. Sri Narada Uvacha Karmanishta Dvija Kechit Taponishta Nripa Pare Svadhyaye Nye Pravachane Kechana Jnana Jogayo. Translation. Narada Muni continued, "My dear King, some Brahmanas are very much attached to fruitive activities. Some are attached to austerities and penances, and still others study the Vedic literature, whereas some, although very few, cultivate knowledge and practice different yogas, especially bhakti yoga." Text number two. Jnana Nishtaya Deyani Kavyanyantam Itschata Daive Chatara Bhave Syad Itare Bhyo Yatarhata Jnana Nishtaya Deyani Kavyanyantantyam Itschata Daive Chatara Bhave Syad Itare Bhyo Yatarhata Jnana Nishtaya Deyani Kavyanyantantyam Itschata Daive Chatara Bhave Syad Itare Bhyo Yatarhata. Jnana Nishtaya Deyani Kavyanyantyam Maitschata Daive Chatara Bhave Syad Itare Bhyo Yatarhata Jnana Nishtaya Deyani Kavyanyantyam Maitschata Daive Chatara Bhave Syad Ladies. Gyananishtaya Deyani Kavyan Yantyantam Itschata Daive Chara Bhave Syad Itare Vyoya Tarhata Gyananishtaya. To the impersonalist or the transcendentalist desiring to merge into the Supreme. Deyani, to be given in charity. Kavyani, ingredients offered to the forefathers as oblations. Anantyam, liberation from material bondage. Icchata, by a person desiring. Daive, the ingredients to be offered to the demigods. Cha, also. Tattabhave, in the absence of such advanced transcendentalists. Syat, it should be done. Itarebhya, to others, namely those addicted to fruitive activities. Yata arhata, comparatively or with discrimination. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. A person desiring liberation for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a brahmana who adheres to impersonal monism, jnananishta. In the absence of such an advanced brahmana, charity may be given to a brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karmakanda. Please repeat. A person desiring liberation for his fathers or for his forefathers or himself should give charity to a brahmana who adheres to impersonal monism, jnananishta. In the absence of such an advanced brahmana, charity may be given to a brahmana addicted to fruitive activities, karmakanda. Purport. There are two processes by which to get free from material bondage. One involves jnanakanda and karmakanda, and the other involves upasanakanda. Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. Rather, they want to be everlastingly servants of the Lord, to render loving service unto him. In this verse, the words anantyam itschata refer to persons who desire to achieve liberation from material bondage and merge into the existence of the Lord. Devotees, however, whose objective is to associate personally with the Lord, have no desire to accept the activities of karmakanda or jnanakanda. For pure devotional service is above both karmakanda and jnanakanda. Anyabhilasita shunyam jnanakarmadi anavritam. In pure devotional service, there is not even a pinch of jnana or karma. Consequently, when Vaishnavas distribute charity, they do not need to find a brahmana performing the activities of jnanakanda or karmakanda. The best example in this regard is provided by Advaita Goswami, who after performing the Shraddha ceremony for his father, offered charity to Haridas Thakur, although it was known to everyone that Haridas Thakur was born in a Mohammedan family, not a Brahmana family, and was not interested in the activities of jnanakanda or karmakanda. Charity, therefore, should be given to the first-class transcendentalist, the devotee, because the Shastras recommend Muktanam api siranam narayana parayana sadurlabha prashantatma koti shvapi mahamune O great sage, among many millions who are liberated and perfect in knowledge of liberation, one may be a devotee of Lord Narayan or Krishna. Such devotees who are fully peaceful are extremely rare. Bhagavatam 6.14.5. A Vaishnava is in a higher position than a Jnani, and therefore Dvaitacharya selected Haridas Thakur to be the person to accept his charity. The Supreme Lord also says, Name bhaktas chaturvedi mad bhaktas vapachapriya tasmai devam tato grahyam sa cha pujyo yatahyaham. Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. However, even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activity or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am. Hari Bhakti Vilas 10.127. Therefore, even if not born in a Brahmana family, a devotee, because of his devotion to the Lord, is above all kinds of Brahmanas, whether they be Karma Kandis or Jnana Kandis. In this regard, it may be mentioned that Brahmanas in Vrindavan, who are Karma Kandis and Jnana Kandis, sometimes decline to accept invitation to our temple, because our temple is known as the Angareji temple, or Anglican temple. But in accordance with the evidence given in the Shastra, in the example set by Dvaitacharya, we give prasad to devotees regardless of whether they come from India, Europe, or America. It is the conclusion of the Shastra that instead of feeding many Jnana Kandi or Karma Kandi Brahmanas, it is better to feed a pure Vaishnava, regardless of where he comes from. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.30. Api chedra charo bhajanti mananya bhak. Sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Thus, it doesn't matter whether a devotee comes from a Brahmana family or non-Brahmana family. If he is fully devoted to Krishna, he is a sadhu. Om Jnana Tamirandasya Giranjana Shalaka Chakshu Unitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Mukum Guru Devachalam Pankam Langayate Girim Yarkipatam Ham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarunam. So, here we're going to be hearing from Narada Muni how society needs to be organized. There's a lot of disorganization in the world, and under the guise of organization, people are engaged in all sorts of sinful activities. So now we're going to be hearing what it means to really organize ourselves and according to time, place, and circumstance, as Prabhupada mentions here in the purport or in the summary, that one must act according to the religious principles that suit his constitutional position. It is not that everyone must adhere to the same type of religion. So, in actuality, Krishna consciousness is so nice that it can accommodate anyone of whatever like or dislike or nature or quality may be there, provided one is acting according to the instructions of the spiritual master. It's not that we just go off and all of a sudden create some doctrine and accept it as the absolute truth. No, it has to be according to the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. Then we accept it. Then it has potency. Then it has some organization. Otherwise, it's just a concoction, and it'll confuse a lot of people. And unfortunately, that is the case in our present society, that so many charlatans, so many cheaters, they're creating all kinds of ideas to delude people. I was reading one very nice paragraph about one particular person who, in regards to his preaching, but there was a commentary on it, and the point was that in the East, the general mass of people are not so educated in religious principles, and they're quite willing to accept any incarnation and avatar that shows up, because they produce some ash, or they give you a sweet ball, or you touch you on the head and you see some lights, or they smile at you, or they give you a super duper hug. So we're very accepting, or generally the mood is to be very accepting and accommodating. Whereas in the East, whereas in the West, we're looking for some sort of open-minded spirituality, some sort of eclectic philosophy. And although we may be so-called intelligent and advanced, very gullible. So it's a perfect field for someone to score real good. You can get a lot of followers if you play your cards right, and you can get a lot of wealth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it has to be understood that it comes from a bona fide source. That's the point. So here we're going to be hearing very nicely from Srila Narada Muni how society should be organized. And Srila Prabhupada points out here, first of all, that there are two processes for getting free from material bondage. One involves the jnana kanda and karma kanda, and the other involves the upasana kanda, or worship of the Lord, which also includes a worship of the demigods. But Srila Prabhupada points out in his commentaries that the Srimad Bhagavatam is that upasana, ultimately it culminates in accepting Lord Narayan. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is so far ahead because it teaches how to advocates worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada points out here, Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. They're not interested in karma, kanda, jnana kanda, or even upasana kanda. They're simply interested in the process of bhakti yoga. And Lord Kapiladev describes this to his mother in the third canto, where he says, Naikatmatam me spriyahyanti kechin, where he says that the devotees of the Lord who are attached to the activities of devotional service, which is an important point, that one has to be attached to the activities of devotional life, not that we just sort of go through the motions and wait for that dying day. No, but one has to cultivate a sincere attachment. And once and being attached, one also engages in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Again, not that we're just simply showing some attachment, but we end up doing so many other things or meditating on so many other things and missing the point, which means engaging yourself. So the devotees of the Lord who are attached to the activities of devotional service and who also engage themselves in devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord never desire to become one, as Prabhupada points out here. The Vaishnavas never want to merge into the existence of the Supreme. Rather, they want to be everlastingly servants of the Lord to render loving service unto Him. So, such devotees, Lord Kapila Dev points out, are unflinchingly engaged in devotional service, and they're always glorifying the pastimes and activities of the personality of Godhead. That is pure devotional service. That is free from karma, gyan. And Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport that means there's not a pinch of karma or gyan. Anyabhilasita shunyam gyana karma dhyanavritam. He quotes this very beautiful verse, which describes how a devotional service is free from any kind of motive. We're not engaged in temple services because I need this or I need that, or I have some other motive. In pure devotional service, there is not even a pinch. Consequently, when Vaishnavas distribute charity, they do not need to find a brahmana performing the activities of Gyanakanda or Karmakanda. And the best example Srila Prabhupada gives here is of Advaita Goswami, who during the Shraddha ceremony of his father first gave the offering to Haridas Thakur, recognizing him as an exalted Vaishnava. Of course, that created quite a stir in the community. But as Prabhupada points out here, charity should be given to first-class transcendentalists. And that should be the first consideration. Because the devotees of the Lord are engaged in devotional service, because they're 100% engaged in Krishna service, and such Kotishvapi Mahamune, these such souls are very rare. It's rare to find someone who's interested in a devotional service and devotional life. And we have that experience. Not many people are very interested in spirituality nowadays. They're more interested in becoming an expert materialist, and which is unfortunate, which means that society really is not organized or civilized, for that matter. It's lost all of its culture, and what to speak of social behavior. Synonyms for civilized is where we're recognizing here that civilized human society or civilized culture. Civil, synonyms for that is to be polite. But we can see just practically in society, people are not very polite. They're not very interested in social behavior. Society is run by rude people, and even more advanced than just being polite is being courteous. Again, courteous implies that one has a consideration for other people. And the problem with, again, present society that is that there's no interest in the condition of others. People are more interested in their own well-being. Of course, they don't even know what that means. And again, there has to be some instruction given by the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. And the example has to be set. That those who are engaged in devotional service are heads above all others, whether they be jnanis, karmis, or even those engaged in ritualistic activities. And Prabhupada gives the example here of the Vrindavan temple, how when opening up the Krishna Balaram Mandir, there was Prabhupada was very what would the word be? Diplomatic, exactly, in accommodating the local brahmanas. But in his own words, it was more important that the devotees were there chanting the holy names of the Lord. So real civilized society, real cultured society means to be engaged in the process of bhakti yoga. In accordance with the evidence given in the Shastras and example set by Advaitacharya, we give prasad to devotees regardless of whether they come from India, Europe, or America. Thus, it doesn't matter whether a devotee comes from a Brahmana family or a non-Brahmana family. If he is fully devoted to Krishna, he is a sadhu. So there's a lot that can be said on this, but we'll end here. Any other questions or comments? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.